Chapter 23. Scott. That electric panic stayed with Scott the whole time he was shopping. He doubted he would ever calm down. It felt very much like a current, low level, passing through his body, making it shake, allowing him only shallow breaths. Scott knew that most of what he needed to get away with murder could be bought over the counter in a Target. He was walking to the store around the corner, thinking with every step. Thinking helped. It always had. No matter what kind of situation Scott was in, if he thought about it, he could see a way through. He was a rationalist with a blinding temper. The logical part of his brain always saved his ass. First thing he needed was a backpack. He chose the largest, not the cheapest, 8-gallon capacity, $60. He had $160 in cash and needed to keep 50 for cab fare. No way did he want any of these purchases showing up on his bank account. Next on his list was a roll of trash bags, a carton of disposable latex gloves, and 2 3-gallon bottles of strong bleach. A hooded sweater, jeans, underwear, socks, and sneakers. He put all of it in the backpack, paid in cash. The lady at the register didn't bat an eyelid at his purchases. They were innocent enough. 10 minutes later, he was climbing the hotel stairs and took a break halfway. The 12th floor was a long way up. When he pushed the door open into the hallway on that floor, he was covered in sweat and breathing hard. After checking there was no one else around, he moved the Do Not Disturb sign so the card reader could recognize the key card. The beep let him in, and he made sure the sign was secure before he closed the door. There was a smell from the dead man on the floor, blood mostly, but Scott guessed his bowels and bladder had emptied too. Scott opened the carton of gloves and put on a pair before he did anything else. No need to spread his fingerprints and DNA any further around the crime scene. Bending down, he checked the man's hip pocket, found a wallet. $500 bills, a stack of credit cards, and a New York State driver's license. Patrick Travers. The name meant nothing to Scott. He memorized the address, took the cash, and left the cards before throwing the wallet on the bloody floor. Scott stepped over the body, put his backpack on the bed, and got to work. His blood-stained clothes went from the tub into a trash bag. He popped the cap on one of the bottles of bleach and scattered some over the shower tray. He then ran the shower to make sure no trace of him could be found. The rest of that bottle went on the carpet and then Travers. He made sure to soak the bottle protruding from Travers's eye socket. There would be a lot of trace DNA and fingerprints on it. He knew the bleach would do the job of eradicating trace evidence. There wasn't enough to cover Travers, so Scott opened the second bottle. When he thought he'd covered every surface his skin had touched, Scott went into the bathroom, got out of the dead man's clothes, put them in the trash bag along with the bloody clothes, and dressed in his new clothing from Target. Tying the trash bag tightly, Scott then stuffed it into his backpack. It just about fitted. Scott checked his own pockets. He had his cell and his wallet. Didn't want to leave those behind. He glanced at Travers's empty wallet on the floor. With any luck, the NYPD would think this was a robbery. It didn't matter. As long as he hadn't left any forensic evidence behind, it would be okay. Scott was happy with the cleanup. He opened the door, left the Do Not Disturb sign in place, and let it close behind him as he made for the stairs. 2 floors up. Scott was in the hallway, headed to his room, when he suddenly realized he didn't know what to tell Ruth. He couldn't tell her the truth, not yet anyway. The thought of Ruth living in fear of this man for the rest of her life wasn't an option either. He would have to tell her at some stage, for her sake, so that she knew her nightmare was over, that this man could never hurt her or anyone else again. She was fragile. Right now, never more so. If he walked into their room and told her straight up he'd just killed the man who'd attacked her and that they needed to get away for a while until it all blew over, that might be too much for Ruth to bear. She would crack. He could be doing her more damage. No. He decided now was not the right time. He would have to wait, at least until he was certain the cops weren't going to catch him. Ruth had to be in a better state of mind, too. She had to be away from this city, somewhere far away where she knew no one, and no one knew them. If it all turned to shit and a warrant went out for Scott's arrest, he could at least get in touch with his old buddy Jack. If it was illegal, Jack was plugged into it somewhere, or he knew a guy who knew a guy. His old high school pal could hook him and Ruth up with fake IDs and get them a plane ticket out of the country. That was the backup plan. He shook his head, trying to clear his mind. He had more pressing things to consider, like getting the fuck out of this hotel as soon as possible. He used his key card to open the door to their hotel room. Ruth was in bed, asleep, but she stirred as the door closed behind him, and then she screamed. Scott dumped his bag on the floor, flicked on the bedside lamp, and sat down on the bed beside her. He took hold of her shoulders and whispered softly to her that she was okay. She was in a hotel. She was safe. He was right there with her. Her eyes were wide open, her chest heaving, and as she looked around the room and oriented herself, she seemed to calm a little, but only for a second. Memories of the restaurant clearly flooded back into her mind as she reached out and grabbed his arms.
What happened? Where did you go? Did you find anything out about the man in the restaurant?
Relax, it's okay. I followed him around a little, and then I came back up. I managed to find out his name, though. I overheard him on the phone.
Where's your jacket? Are those new? What?
It's okay. I tailed the man around town and got wet in the rain. Luckily, I had my sweats bag downstairs in the hotel gym locker.
Ruth looked first at the bag on the floor, then glanced out of the window. It looked like a clear night, but Scott thought it would be hard for her to tell in the dark from a lofty hotel window that didn't open. It's not like she had been outside.
Does the name Patrick Travers mean anything to you?
Ruth looked to the side, her eyes moving rapidly as if she was scrolling through a Rolodex in her head.
No, I never heard the name.
Definitely not a client?
Definitely not. I don't know the name. God, should we tell Detective Farrow?
No. Like he said, honey, there's nothing they can do. We'd just be wasting our time.
She grabbed him then, held him tight, and he held her. They sat motionless together, clinging on to one another. For the first time since September 14th, the night Scott got the call from the police telling him his wife had been attacked, he knew everything would be all right. If they got out of there now, everything would be just fine. He could feel it.
We need to pack up and get out of this hotel. I don't like the fact that he's here. It's not safe. We need to go. We should go right now, okay?
She let go of him, nodded, with tears in her eyes, and a smile. It almost made Scott break down. Over the past 90 minutes, he'd wanted some kind of release, and this almost unmanned him. He didn't regret killing Patrick Travers, not now, not after seeing her face. His death, his deserved death, had given them back some hope and the promise of a life still to come. Behind Ruth were two large suitcases and two smaller ones.
Let's pack, said Scott.
It didn't take long to throw their belongings into the suitcases. Ruth dressed hurriedly in jeans, boots, and a sweater.
Where are we going to go? She asked.
Scott checked his watch. It was almost 10.
Let's start by getting out of the city. We can go anywhere, but for now, let's just leave. I want to go someplace no one will follow us, and no one would think to look. It's okay now, honey. We're going to be just fine. We'll take a cab to Grand Central and jump on a train.